Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, round two for the week, Tuesday. How the heck are you? Great to be with you today. New stations around the country. I will be filling your prescription for freedom every single day, Monday through Friday, live on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Also, the Sunday Monster Cast, growing like a weed, added another six affiliates. We'll be giving them a big shout out on this coming week's Monster Cast. So great to be with you, filling your prescription for freedom 6 days a week. I'm joined right now by my good friend and your good friend, famed trainer, self-defense expert, co-author with me and author of too many books to mention, Rob Pincus. Rob, welcome to the program. I've got you for the hour. Going to be a provocative topic today, no question, but it's a conversation that has to be had. Welcome to the show, brother.
Great to be here, Mark. Thanks. It's always good to talk with you. As you said, today's topic is one I'd rather not be talking about, but it's incredibly important for all American gun owners.
I couldn't agree with you more, which is exactly why we got together today and decided this conversation has to be had. In fact, I'm not going to be shocked if I take this hour and run it on a Sunday upcoming Monster Cast to get it on even a bigger platform, because the conversation is that important. Let's start with the National Rifle Association. The two of us, I've been critical. You've seen the columns that I've written about the National Rifle Association, what I deem to be mismanagement at the top. I've been very open about the fact that there needs to be a change. You, on the other hand, have been far more critical than I and are at the forefront of some change that is occurring and some legal maneuvering by the NRA and Ackerman. And I want to get this all out in the open before we start this conversation. I think it's vital. So I'll let you take it away. What are we trying to – are you trying to wreck the NRA, bro? Is that what's going on here? That's what people are saying.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are afraid of. I think on two different fronts, they're wrong. First of all, I don't think anyone from inside of the firearms community is trying to wreck the NRA. Quite frankly, the leadership of the NRA as it currently stands has done a fairly good job of wrecking the reputation of the NRA and the efficacy of the NRA over the last 10 to 20 years. And that's what we're trying to wreck. We're trying to fix the situation at the NRA so that they are a strong advocacy and education organization, as they have been historically for almost 150 years. But the last 10 to 20 years, they've become less and less effective. Obviously, there's all sorts of allegations of financial malfeasance, wrongdoings, cronyism, whatever you want to call it. The old guard needs to go. And there are some specific reforms that I think most American gun owners will see as a path forward. And we're hoping to affect that change from within the gun community, rather than have the New York Attorney General's office shut the NRA down because the way they're handling money and the way the board of directors are being treated or not being utilized or not being allowed to actually run the organization. Or we have the situation, obviously, where there's plenty of anti-gunners and pro-gun control people that would love to see the NRA go away just on principle as a political victory. And obviously, we don't want that to happen from either one of those fronts. We want the change to come from within the gun community, but it's been very clear that the change will not come from within the NRA, and that's why we're taking action outside of the NRA's standard operating procedure.
How is your relationship, because you've been very vocal, how is your relationship with NRA management now, or is there a relationship? Is anybody talking to you? Are they shunning you? What's going on?
Well, you know, I have a long history with the NRA, you know, going all the way back into the 1990s with some overlap in you know, charity events and just socially and just being involved in the gun industry and knowing a lot of the people who are still players in the leadership of the NRA today. I worked with the NRA very closely. It's a matter of public record that we developed a DVD program starting in 2005. Those training DVDs were distributed almost primarily, probably about 90-95% of the millions of DVDs that we distributed and sold were sold through the NRA program. And they were licensed products with the American Handgunner logo on there. And we did the NRA Personal Defense Newsletter for years, all of that through Personal Defense Network and through the parent company that I work with called TN Marketing. So there's always been a very close relationship, or I should say historically, there's been a close relationship between me and the NRA. I even ran for the board of directors in 2014 until I was asked by the leadership to step aside because they were concerned about a conflict of interest because we were working together so closely on the DVDs, which now is ironic
in all of the
revelations. All of those revelations that have been shared with so many people, getting insider deals and cronyism and you know, board of directors members who have direct financial ties to Ackerman McQueen and the NRA. But yeah, there's a long history there. And really what it does, I wouldn't say that it like inspires or motivates the current action, but it definitely educates and informs my position on what the real problems are inside of the NRA today.
All right, let's go now to listeners. If you have any questions for me, I don't take calls live on the air, but I want you to email them to me, mark@armedamericanradio.org. If you have a question for Rob or you have a question for me, if I can get at it today live, I will. If not, I probably won't because the conversation will be very fluid now, but I will get them to Rob and we'll get answers for you. As I said, I may very well play or replay this as an encore broadcast on an upcoming MonsterCast for good reason. I'm sure you'll understand by the time this hour is over. Rob, then let's move now to, did I miss any, is there anything you want me to ask you about the NRA that I haven't yet done or you haven't been able to answer yet before we move on?
No, I think that's it. I think that was a long answer to your short question. Of course, I still talk to a lot of people inside of the NRA. I still talk to people that work for Akron and McQueen. There are several board of directors I'm in contact with regularly, as well as people who are employees. So it's certainly not the kind of thing where like lines have been drawn and people aren't communicating even across the different positions people have. I think, you know, even the NRA management and the president, the current president Meadows of the NRA board has said that, yeah, there's been some problems and we are addressing them and we are moving forward. Obviously, I think the American gun owner is better served by a different group of leadership taking the NRA into the next phase of its existence.
All right, now it's a matter of public record, so I want to throw this out there, but you have in fact been subpoenaed in that battle between the NRA and Akron McQueen, and you've in fact been subpoenaed to talk on behalf of the NRA. I want to make that very clear. Did I miss anything there?
No, I don't know if the lawyers or if the NRA would specifically say on behalf of. I have been subpoenaed by the NRA to give them information or provide documents as I can that presumably will help them in their lawsuit, civil lawsuit against Akron McQueen. So I'm not a party to the suit. Okay. I'm not in any legal jeopardy. And I am currently in discussions with the lawyers for the NRA about how to move forward after that subpoena.
All right. And I just, for the record, listener, I want you to know that that's information that's out there. So I want you to make sure that you have it as this conversation progresses. I don't want somebody to come back to me and go, well, why didn't you mention this when it was out there? That may have changed. It's out there. It's open. We know about it. He just addressed it. All right. Let's go now to Save the 2A. We've got about 2.5 minutes left in this segment. So I want to start here with the leadership. Well, actually, before we even get to leadership, tell us what Save the 2A is.
Save the 2A is an organization that has just been founded. It was actually the idea of Anthony Garcia was really the guy who was behind this idea. He was very instrumental in the fight for the recall here in Colorado, very politically active guy, very tuned in American gun owner. Anthony Garcia and several other people, Andy Lander, Steve Hoback, who both have been very closely associated with the NRA and worked for the NRA. Ron Carter, who joined us at the members meeting as sort of your everyday guy NRA member who has a lot of concern about, you know, what's going to be happening in the future of the NRA and what's happening right now. And I are the leadership, are the board members, but there's plenty of other people giving input to the stance of Save the Second Amendment. And the idea of Save the 2A is we want the NRA to be better. We want the change, again, to come from within the gun community. We want to, you know, if you want to call it a watchdog organization, if you want to call it an advocacy group, whatever it is, it's a nonprofit entity that's been formed here in Colorado that now has a national presence and a voice to help American gun owners rally around the reforms and the changes that need to happen within the NRA community so that maybe then we don't need Save the 2A in 6 months or 6 years when the NRA is back on the proper path.
I think it's very important for the benefit of listeners. I'm going to take to the break with this, Rob. Let me explain a little bit about each individual. Anthony Garcia, the president, is also a current NRA. Well, he's worked directly alongside. He works with current board member Timothy Knight of the NRA. And I want to point out that Anthony Garcia is an NRA lifetime endowment member. He is a current lifetime member. Ron Carter, who you just heard Rob mention, is living in Colorado, as is Anthony Garcia. And is also an NRA certified pistol personal protection inside the home and range safety officer and an NRA member. Rob Pincus, of course, NRA member, works very closely, ran for the board. You're hearing him on the program right now. Steve Hoback, a board member, also a proud member of the NRA's training department, part of the education and the training division. And he wants to see the focus of that area, among others, fixed and corrected within the NRA. He's also an NRA life member and a training counselor. He's the guy that teaches me my NRA certification, if you will. That's where I would get the training from if I wanted to be an NRA certified instructor. Andy Lander, also a board member and a life member of the National Rifle Association and a former employee of the association. So these are the individuals at the top of Save the 2A who are all very, very dedicated to seeing the NRA, and I think it's safe to say, Rob, in the last 30 seconds, get back to their roots, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. Focus on the bigger picture of gun rights advocacy and obviously downsize and start spending the money a lot more wisely.
When we come back after this break, I'm going to go into five different bullet points or goals that this organization wants to see reformed at the top of the NRA. I'll be back right after this with Rob Pincus. Don't go away. Okay, gun lover, your time is almost up. You still have a little time to win big today, though, because the USCCA wants to give you a free gun right now. They're giving away a different gun every single day this month, but you have to hurry because it all ends this Friday, June 21st. You are almost out of time. Just text ARMED to 87222 and get entered right now. The official rules are right on the page. You could get up to 17 chances to win your gun each day. It could be 17 Kimbers, 17 Glocks, maybe even that new Sig Sauer. But these free guns are going fast. Just text ARMED, A-R-M-E-D, to 87222 and reveal the gun you could take home today. But remember, there's not a lot of time. The gun of the day always disappears at midnight. These free guns are almost gone, so please hurry. This is your big chance to take home one of these guns. Don't miss out. Just text ARMED to 87222 and get entered to win your free gun right now. That's ARMED to 87222. ARMED, ARMED to 87222.
You're in handcuffs. Your kids and spouse are crying as you're loaded into a cop car. But you did nothing wrong. How could this happen? You're the good guy. All you did was legally protect your family from an attacker. If you think this couldn't happen to you, think again. Fortunately, though, the United States Concealed Carry Association is there to protect you. Not only do they resolve these situations for their members, but they also prevent them from happening in the first place. With resources like their free guide, 6 Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. Learn what to say and what not to say in the aftermath of a self-defense incident. To get your free guide, 6 Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive, just visit BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com. Don't wait until it's too late. Get your free guide today at BeTheirProtector.com.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
Get a 2-pack of my pillow premiums for $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow, which is the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. This offer is only available at MyPillow.com or call 800-978-9358 and use promo code AAR.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Tired of leather holsters not holding up to EDC? Wouldn't it be great if your holster fit multiple handguns? Let me tell you about 1791 Gun Leather. With 100% American heavy native steer hide, leather artisans handcraft distinctive 1791 Gun Leather into multi-fit IWB and OWB holsters. Order now and enjoy quality, versatility, and the pleasant leather aroma. Call 800-407-1791 or go to 1791gunleather.com for an affordable, distinctive holster that'll last a lifetime.
Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. We're going to jump right back into this conversation. A very, very important program today. Rob Pincus joins me. Rob, always a pleasure to have you here, no matter what we're talking about. This is a fascinating topic, a provocative topic. It's, as you just mentioned, we were talking during the break. Sean was kind of potting us together there, which was kind of cool. We were able to talk during the break. And one of our concerns here is this is a different battle than back in the day when Mr. Knox was fighting the battle, because there's much more at stake now. And as you mentioned in the opening segment, you've got New York. That freight train is on the tracks. It's not going to stop. It's going to ram right through Waples Mill Road in Fairfax, Virginia, which is the address of the National Rifle Association headquarters, whether they want it to or not. It's coming. There's nothing they can do to stop it. This is out there public. And I think one of your most telling statements in the opening segment was the fact that we would rather do this now than have somebody like some freakazoid hate fest from the left, or even worse, New York State Attorney Generals changing everything about the NRA using their state law and their anti-gun rhetoric and everything else that goes with it to force those changes, correct?
Right. This change is definitely, you know, somebody said it best up on the podium at the members meeting back about 2 months ago now, when they said, you know, this is a family fight, and family fights aren't pretty, but family fights should be kept within the family. We should be able to solve this inside of the American gun owning community.
I'm hopeful that we can, and I like what I'm seeing here with the Save the 2A. SaveThe2A.org is the website, listener. I would highly recommend that you go there and educate yourself about this. This is an this is a very, very serious effort, and I hope Fairfax is looking at this as a very serious effort as well. Let's start with the five goals, or should we start with why reform first? Which one do you want to tackle first?
Well, I think we've talked about why reform. You know, we talked about it previously. If people aren't aware of the problems, they really do need to do the research. We could take up the whole rest of the hour talking about what the problems are, what the allegations are, but, you know, simply put, the NRA, using their best numbers, which I'm very skeptical of, has 5.5 million members. Those members obviously include a lot of people like me and all the other guys you just mentioned in the last segment who have a lot of concerns about the current NRA. We are not supportive of the current NRA strategies or leadership. So 5.5 million minus the people who are very concerned and very vocal all over the internet, all over the community, you can see it. And then you also have to take out, you know, there's always questions like, how do you remove a deceased life member from your role? Well, the NRA has never answered that. So, you know, we take that 5.5 million with a big grain of salt, but it's still less than 6% of the total number of American gun owners. So if that doesn't prove a lack of efficacy, and I don't know, you know, what else could. So as far as the NRA's success in terms of bringing in new members and rallying American gun owners around the cause of the Second Amendment, they've been failing. And then when you add on top of that the allegations about all the financial wrongdoings, malfeasance, whatever you want to call it, incredible amounts of spending on luxury items and privileges, amounts of money going to family members and friends of board of directors and, you know, spouses and girlfriends of the executive committee and the leadership of Akron McQueen. It's really gotten incredibly out of hand. It reminds one of Wounded Warrior Project a few years ago.
It really does.
It maybe even worse in some ways. So I think the reform question is pretty obvious. And if it's not, I would suggest people go to AmmoLand. Obviously, AmmoLand, you've been writing for them. Jeff Knox has written for them. I've written for them. Adam Proud has written for them. And, you know, quote unquote, the other side has written for them as well. Marion Hammer et al. So people can learn a lot about the why we need this reform at AmmoLand. It's probably the best one-stop source for gun owners.
Yeah, and I think the short answer, listener, for what Rob is just saying really is the optics are terrible. The optics are bad. It's that simple. And the perception is reality. It's that simple. Perception is reality to most people, and the optics are bad, and there needs to be a change. Okay, let's start with the five goals. We'll tackle this one here in the next 3.5 minutes we have in this segment. The first one, smaller board. The NRA's board is made up of 76 individuals. I have never understood how they get anything done with a board that size. That's one of the goals here. Jump on it.
Yeah, I summarized these yesterday in a couple of short bullet points, and what I said for this one is we need to make each director more powerful and therefore more responsible and accountable to the members. You know, one of the problems is you've got a lot of board members who simply, I mean, they don't even show up to meetings. They don't cast votes. They're not really engaged. And I think a lot of them understandably think, well, there's 75 other board members that can handle this, or there's plenty of people doing work, or, you know, I'm really here just for this piece of the puzzle. I know there's you know, one person, for example, who's been very vocal lately and saying she's only involved for the shooting sports side of the NRA. That's what she's focusing on. She's not focusing on these financial issues or the political issues, these things. Well, that you're the board of director of a huge organization that reaches into a lot of different aspects. You can't just pick and choose which one of those aspects you're going to be involved in as one of the directors. However, when you have such a large board, it might be perceived that way, and it certainly has been tolerated and sort of, as you said, the optics on it are that, well, we have different people doing different things. What that means is each individual board member is less powerful and less accountable to the membership, and a smaller board would fix that, among other things.
Not only that, not only accountable to the membership, but also accountable to the executive team, which is also a big part of this. It, very quickly, right now, you got some great information on here. Investopedia talking about most corporate boards ranging from 3 to 31 members. Some analysts believe the ideal is 7. I'm a member of a board of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, our annual meeting. We have about 10 members on that particular board in that ideal. That to me is an ideal size board of directors. The plan that you guys are putting forth at SaveThe2A.org is proposing reducing the board size from 76 to 31. And I'll be honest with you, I think even 31 is a little high. 25, to me, would be a good number, but I'm going to just throw that out to say that. I don't really know why I feel that way. I think maybe the ability to have a conversation around a roundtable gets better when you've got 25 or less people, and that makes it easier to talk about some of the issues at hand. 76 is way too big. You cannot have a meaningful discussion with 76 people throwing ideas back and forth and get anything accomplished, and I think that's evident right now. So that's plan number one. Is the goal is to reduce the number of directors, and you guys are looking at board from 76 to 31, a significant change. And this would be, even you mentioned here, an unusually large board. It would still make the board approximately 60% leaner than it is now. So every year, NRA members elect 25 board members plus one more elected to the for a term at the National Rifle Association annual meeting. If you amend the bylaws to establish a 31-member board, then the ballot for the next 3 years would simply call for electing 10 board members rather than 25. So I think that pares it down pretty well. You want to put an exclamation point on that?
I think your summary was great. Yeah, the idea is to have a significant change, and maybe it's an incremental change. Maybe after a few years at 31 or a decade at 31, we realize, you know what, that really helped. Let's go down to 25. Let's go down to 21 as the NRA narrows its focus. And as we go through the rest of these bullet points, I think you'll see how a narrowly focused Second Amendment advocacy organization is going to be far more powerful and effective than what the NRA's become.
Yeah, a really good takeaway was, as you just said, as the NRA becomes more focused. And I'm going to guess that somewhere in those five goals is a more focused NRA. We're going to get ready to take a break here. I don't have enough time to ask a question because I know you'll want to run with it. I hate to have to cut you off. So what we're going to do is when we come back from the break, we're going to go to goal number two of the Save the 2A org, and that is limit the directors to 4 consecutive terms. And I'll explain a little bit about that, but suffice to say, according to Board Source, 72% of boards have limits on how many consecutive terms an individual member can serve. The most common limit is 2 terms. That report concluded that term limits help ensure the board's composition reflects its current leadership needs, and I would also say membership as well. When you shorten that term, you're getting more aggressive with the members and you're reflecting more of the membership. We'll continue this fascinating conversation with Rob Pincus right after this. Don't go away, please.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine." Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
the Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends. You can find every episode of Into the Fray at intothefrayvideo.com. That's intothefrayvideo.com.
We all hear the stories in the news. The good guy uses a gun to protect his family, and then he's the one arrested. Thanks to our court system, this happens a lot, and that's exactly what can happen to you unless you're fully prepared. But you're not alone. USCCA is here to help. Simply go to usccaonair.com to learn more about the education, training, and legal protection you need to become a responsibly armed American. With their education and training, you'll learn how to detect attackers before they see you, how to survive a mass shooting, exactly what to say to the police after an incident, and a whole lot more. With their legal protection, you'll get access to over $1 million in civil and criminal defense funds, the USCCA Critical Response Team, and a nationwide network of experienced attorneys. Plus, there's always a special bonus when you join. So head over to usccaonair.com right now to reveal what you can get for free today. It could be a free knife or even the chance to win a brand new gun. Just visit usccaonair.com to find out. Once again, that's usccaonair.com.
One warm summer day, Richard was grilling out with his family in the backyard of his suburban home. His brother stepped away to grab something from his car in the front yard and didn't come back. Feeling suspicious, Richard went to go check on him and was horrified by what he found. His brother was being beaten nearly to death in an attempted carjacking. Thinking quickly, Richard pulled out his gun and scared the attackers away. Then the police arrived, and Richard was arrested.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to do? Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say? If you answered anything other than yes to these questions, you need to visit BeTheirProtector.com right now. There you'll find the USCCA's free guide, 6 things that could land you behind bars or help keep you out of them. Visit BeTheirProtector.com now and get your free copy of 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive right now. That's BeTheirProtector.com. One more time, BeTheirProtector.com.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
A lot to cover with you as we rejoin Armed American Radio's Daily Defense and head into segment 3 on this very, very, very provocative and extremely important conversation. I'm talking with Rob Pincus. We are talking about Saving the 2A and SaveThe2A.org. Rob Pincus, welcome back to the studios, Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. We're into 5 goals here. We're going to jump right in at number 2, if that's okay. Did you want to put a mark on anything we said as we head into number 2? You ready to roll?
I'm ready to go.
All right, goal number 2, as I teased at the break, limit directors to 4 consecutive terms. 72% of boards now have limits on how many consecutive terms individual members can serve. The most common limit is 2. Save the 2A is looking at bringing the National Rifle Association's to 4. Are there any limits at the NRA right now by any chance?
There are not.
All right. So 4 terms of what length?
Well, the current length, the way it works is it can be up to 3 years or it could be a single year. The issue really is how many consecutive times that they're eligible can they run? And that's what we're looking at is maximizing the number of times that someone can run for the board of directors in an eligible voting campaign, in an eligible year in a row would be 4. And as you noted in the last segment, that's still considered a relatively high number. Usually people are only limited to 2 runs. Now, the way we looked at it was if someone was coming in, so the way it works now from the outside, and they were running for that 76th seat, which of course become the 31st seat in the reform plan, then they would only be there for 1 year. So this would actually give them a 4-year time to serve if they ran for four consecutive NRA annual meeting voting sessions at the for the 31st seat, which is currently called the 76th seat. Now, I realize that gets a little confusing, but the math essentially of four consecutive terms, I think, was really designed around the idea that someone coming in from the outside to influence the NRA, the outside of the current board of directors, would get at least a four-year opportunity to do that if they had the support of the membership.
And I'm going to leave that answer stand right there. I think that was excellent. It was self-explanatory. I want to, in the essence of time, move on. One thing that I do want to point out, though, without limits, and you mentioned this on the site, without term limits, it's very difficult for a board to bring in new talent and leadership. And as you quote, I'll quote from your page here, which is essential for the long-term health of the leadership body. As the needs of the organization change over time, so should the composition of the board to ensure that the board has the necessary skill sets, perspectives, and networks for the future rather than the past. You know, and I can go that step further and tie that to the membership. You're going to get a whole lot of – I have a feeling you're going to see the NRA explode in due time. I think these problems will fix themselves. I think the NRA will move forward. It's going to have to. The alternative is not anything anybody wants to see. Those that do want to see it, I think, are just throwing a bunch of bravado and machismo out there that really doesn't need to be heard. America needs a strong NRA. Leaning it down like this is a great way to do it. So excellent information on this site. I mean, fantastic information on this site. So we're going to move over now to number three. Number three, attendance. Explain what you mean by attendance.
So the issue, one of the issues that a lot of people have picked up on over the last few years is that there are certain board members who simply don't attend the members' meetings. They don't participate, and it goes the full spectrum. You go from someone like Marion Hammer, who's a past president of the NRA, who has a huge feeling of entitlement to represent the NRA. She gets paid an enormous amount of money by the NRA every year, in excess of $200,000 for her, you know, quote unquote, work that she does on behalf of the NRA in Florida and elsewhere. But she doesn't show up to members' meetings, or she doesn't show up to the board meetings. I believe she attended one this year, which was an anomaly that she actually showed up for it. And then you go to the other end where you go to someone like some of the celebrities, Tom Selleck or a Karl Malone, or even a Ted Nugent, you know, who's a friend of ours. Some of those guys don't show up, and it's seen very much as okay that they don't show up because they're somehow doing a great service to our community by lending their star power to the roles of who is a director at the NRA. But they're not really doing any of the work of a director, to include attending the meeting. So what we want to see is a much stricter, stronger requirement. Obviously, things happen. You know, if there's three meetings a year and you miss one because of a traffic accident or somebody's sick or you're having surgery or some other issue that can be very clearly and reasonably understood, so be it. But if you miss two of those three meetings in a year, you're ineligible to run. And potentially, if you miss three, I think someone should very seriously consider being asked to resign from the board if they miss an entire year's worth of meetings.
To address the problem, now Adam Kraut, let me mention Adam Kraut's statistics here. These are incredible numbers and something I was unaware of. NRA Life member Adam Kraut, he's also an attorney and a Second Amendment activist, has published recent attendance records of all NRA board members. His attendance records from January of 15 to May of 18 show that during that time frame, 15 to 18, we're talking 22% of the board was absent for at least 30% of the meetings, and four board members did not attend a single meeting at all. Now, that's a problem. I don't care how you slice it. I don't care what organization you're talking about. That's an issue. You cannot have an engaged board with that level of attendance that is doing the work for the organization or, for that matter, even the management team. And it upsets me a little bit, Rob, that the management team hasn't said, hey, this is BS, we've got to fix this problem, yet continues to let it slide. Even the ones that are being paid, as you mentioned, big bucks to do so. What gives there?
Yeah, it really is. It's one of the most obvious it's one of the most obvious problems inside of the NRA structure. And it speaks to how, honestly, as you mentioned, the management isn't calling it out because the management doesn't want a strong, engaged board. The management benefits with a weak board that isn't engaged because they get to do whatever they want. So if the only people showing up to the meetings are part of the old guard who are, you know, tied into the cronyism, that's how it works.
I would bet money. I may be wrong here, but I would bet money. I don't know the answer to this, but I would bet money, good money, that if you went back and did those numbers, you would see that the old guard is there. You'd see a lot of the same names that are now under, let's say, optics right now. I think you'd see that correlation. There's no question in my mind about that. So your plan to address the problem, you propose establishing a minimum attendance requirement for all members of the NRA Board of Directors. The BOD meets three times every year, including the National Rifle Association annual meetings. Under your plan, any director who misses any two of these three board meetings would lose eligibility to be nominated by the nominating committee for re-election, but could still run by petition if they choose. Directors who miss three meetings would be ineligible for re-election by any method. I think that's solid as a rock. And what we're going to do now is we've got a little bit of time here to go into number four, because we're going to take some time with number four and number five, both of which are very important. So let's set up number four, which is engagement. Take engagement. Get the membership more involved. How do you intend to do that? And then we'll go deeper into that and cover number five in the next segment. Set this one up for us.
Yeah. Well, my summary was simply this. You know, we need to encourage members to learn to vote and to become educated in what goes in, you know, quote unquote, behind the scenes at the NRA. So not just learn what's going on, you know, Democrats versus Republicans, not just vote in national or local elections outside of the gun community, but really to be more involved inside the gun community. And quite frankly, the NRA has benefited the last 10 to 20 years by members not knowing or even being encouraged to know what was going on behind closed doors, what's been going on at these members meetings that are cut short after the pep rally, where members don't really get a chance to speak, what's been going on inside of the directors meetings that are obviously quite often held in executive session, so that the members themselves, the members of the board of directors, can't talk about what goes on in there. So we want to change that whole paradigm. This really speaks to transparency, and that transparency, I believe, will lead to a more engaged American gun-owning community. We'll see higher membership numbers, and we'll see a much more effective NRA across the board.
Boy, I got to tell you, that setup. Yeah, that's exactly what will happen when the membership becomes more engaged. You're going to see the level of activism rise. And by activism, I think you and I both mean, I'm going to try to get in your head here for a minute, doesn't mean simply sending the NRA $25 and saying you did your part, right?
Correct. Real engagement, you know, really actually passionately understanding how you can help the NRA and why you should help the NRA, not just doing what the NRA says in a talking point or in a meme on, Instagram or something.
All right. When we come back after this break, we're going to wrap up the engagement part of it. Very important. Very important. And that's you. That's me. That's the members of the organization and have been for many, many years. What can we do better, and how can this organization help us be more engaged? Then we're going to cover 2A focus, because isn't that what it's all about? Armed American Radio's Daily Defense continues right after this.
We've all put ourselves in a potentially unsafe situation. Whether it's commuting at an odd hour, parking the car in that badly lit garage, or taking that nighttime run. So let's be real. We're not going to stop doing any of those things. The Taser Pulse Plus is here to help you approach every day with confidence and give you that backup if you ever need it. With an effective safety distance of up to 15 feet, delivering a 30-second cycle of muscular incapacitation, the Pulse Plus now has even more advanced safety features. It connects to the mobile safety app Noonlight to dispatch emergency services as soon as the Pulse Plus is triggered. No fumbling for the phone, no freezing up in fear. Pull the trigger and help is on the way. Protect yourself and your family with a leading brand in less lethal self-defense technology, Taser Self-Defense. Visit buy.taser.com and use the code AAR for 10% off the purchase of a consumer Taser device. That's buy.taser.com with the code AAR for 10% off.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at intothefrayvideo.com. That's intothefrayvideo.com.
The Gun Box is the ultimate quick and accessible handgun safe, ideal for securing your firearm while not carrying on your person. Our cutting-edge technology and innovative safety features provide peace of mind while storing your handgun on a nightstand, desk, countertop, or anywhere you might need fast access. With a simple swipe of a finger, press of a custom key code, or the wave of an RFID card or fob, the Gun Box opens in seconds. Our modern design and sleek lines not only make it a great addition to any space, but is the perfect reason to bring your everyday carry gun out from hiding in the closet or the basement safe. Asking yourself, will my concealed carry weapon fit in the Gun Box? The answer is yes, as the Gun Box fits most full-size handguns with room to spare for extra magazines, a blade, and other items you carry for protection. The Gun Box was designed to be your go-to gun safe and is absolutely the best alternative for fast and reliable handgun storage. Visit us at thegunbox.com and use code AAR at checkout for 10% off any purchase of $259. Order your Gun Box today at thegunbox.com and use code AAR for 10% off.
Would you like to join a community of over 2 million like-minded people for free? Well, now is your chance. Just find the official USCCA page on Facebook and click like. You'll instantly be connected with thousands of like-minded folks looking for real talk on self-defense and freedom. Discuss hot topics, find great resources, and voice your opinion where it will matter. At the USCCA official Facebook page, you'll find everything you need for your concealed carry lifestyle. The USCCA on Facebook, community, resources, and so much more.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense continues. Segment 4. We are really, truly going to slide into home with this one. But great program so far. If you have any questions about what you've been listening to, mark at armedamericanradio.org. I'll forward them to Rob, and we'll make sure that you get a response. You deserve that. And I know a lot of you have questions. Mark at armedamericanradio.org. We were talking about member engagement. That's goal number 4 out of goal number 5 of SaveThe2A.org. And make sure to visit the site, SaveThe2A.org. Goal number 4, get the membership more involved. Recent reports of the NRA Elections Committee have consistently revealed abysmal voter turnout among the membership. In 2019, the committee mailed 2,452,813 ballots to voting eligible members, and only 145,920 came back. That's pathetic. That's a voter turnout rate of under 6%. It's pitiful. And anybody who's an NRA voting member that didn't vote should be ashamed of that, quite frankly, if they care, because that's a sign, Rob Pincus, welcome back, of not being engaged, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is. You know, that's exactly the point, is we've got a very small number of American gun owners that are even on the rolls of the NRA membership. We've got an incredibly small number of NRA members who are participating in the elections and some of the other ways that they can be engaged to influence what's going to happen with the committees and with the strategy and with the direction of the NRA. And that plays into the hands of the very few at the very top who want to control the money, most importantly, and the messaging.
And the messaging. But how important is the messaging? How many people have you spoken to? And I know it's an arbitrary. You can't give me an exact number. Maybe you can. I doubt it. I doubt you keep a record of it. I don't. But I can't tell you how many people have said to me, my God, how do I get them to stop sending me scare stuff for money every single day? To me,
right,
that's not quality member engagement. That's fear-mongering for money. And look, I mentioned this on the radio last week. I'm going to mention it now. In one day, in one day, individuals got a letter from the top management, the president of the National Rifle Association, Meadows, saying that they were in great financial shape. Hours later, they got an email that said, and a letter that said, we're going to be destroyed if we don't get your $25 today. And that was not lost on thousands of members. I can't tell you how much email I got going. Look what just came today. Rob, that's terrible messaging. Again, it's awful optics, isn't it?
Well, it is, and that's internal optics. That's not even, you know, we're not necessarily worried about how
great
this all looks to the other side or how this all looks even at this point. This is what SaveThe2A.org is about. We're not coming at this from a let's worry about what they are going to say or what they are going to do. Let's get ahead of this and fix the NRA so the NRA and American gun owners as a unified group can fight against the they that would take away our rights or the they that would point to a cover-up by the executive leadership of NRA and say, look, even American gun owners don't know what's going on with the NRA. I think that's all very, very dangerous to us. So that engagement point, you know, engaging members properly and in a way that promotes education and knowledge and participation means really getting away from exactly the type of thing that you just mentioned. Get away from, first of all, the constant pandering and constant, you know, pleading for money. When most of the engagement, I understand how that works, right? I understand that Akron McQueen has built a machine for the NRA that just generates a very high return on investment in terms of the generosity of the American gun owners that still support the NRA. So I understand that they're making more money by flooding our email and flooding the messaging with, hey, we need your money and here's why. They tie to the request for money, the fear mongering, the, you know, the UN is going to send an army in to take your guns. Well, that was never going to happen. It never will happen. But the idea that it might happen triggers a few people to buy that $200 knife imported from China.
That's right.
So that $195 goes into the coffers of the leadership of the NRA. So the combination of fear mongering and begging for the fundraising side, that's really what turns people off. So that when something important comes out or when a message goes out, when people are called to vote, for example, they've already written off the communications to a large degree as, you know, not worth their time. They're not hearing the important things because of all the static and all of the fear-mongering and the calls for fundraising.
That goes right back to the engagement and right back to management and right back to the size of the board. It all ties together. Are you following along with me here, listener? It really, truly all ties together. You can see how it comes together. Let's go to number five, and this is the biggest one of all. Goal number five, returning to exclusive focus on Second Amendment issues. And I love this from the site. You ever see Planned Parenthood advocating for immigration reform? How about the American Diabetes Association taking a stance on foreign policy? Does the NEA get involved with Bitcoin regulation? No, because they're single-issue organizations and they focus their energy on that single issue. The NRA should do the same. Take this one away. You got 4 minutes.
So, yeah, I think the idea is that we need to stop limiting the audience. This goes back to attendance, engagement, everything else. Stop limiting the audience with divisive identity politics. You know, the rhetoric that they're throwing out constantly, which is catchy or which resonates with people that are already on board with the NRA, the people who are already giving money and might give more. And obviously, it's the issue of blind support for one party. When you look at the way the NRA has already come out, you know, a year and a half away from the 2020 elections and said, you better not vote for a Democrat or we'll lose all our guns. You know, we will support President Trump. We will support anybody with an R next to their name on the ballot, regardless of what they do for the next 18 months or what they might do after they get elected. And that kind of messaging just doesn't help. Not only does it hem up the potential membership, because we know there are a lot of people who vote independent, there are a lot of people even who vote Democrat, who are American gun owners, who should be interested in protecting the Second Amendment, and who we need to get involved in a good, strong, vibrant organization, a good, strong, vibrant gun community, so they can get more educated, so that they can influence the people that they're voting for. Because this isn't about just falling in line behind, you know, any party, specifically in this case, obviously, we're talking about the Republican Party. It isn't about falling in line with any specific political ideology. So that, you know, we're talking about the conservative ideology. It's really about supporting gun rights. And when you start talking about immigration, and when you start blindly following one political party, and when you talk about abortion or other ancillary issues that may be tied to the core demographic, and obviously the demographic that is most generous with the fund giving over the last 10 to 20 years, you lose the vast majority of American gun owners. There are 100 million American gun owners. They are a diverse group. And essentially, you're turning a blind eye to that inherent diversity when you only focus on the most lucrative part or the most motivated part of your audience. It's that echo chamber preaching to the choir effect that makes you feel good at the top and fills the donation plate, but it doesn't really do the cause as much good as reaching out, opening up the doors, taking off the blinders, and focusing solely on our right to keep and bear arms, as opposed to everything else that's been tied to that concept for the last, you know, decade.
Yet I would add one thing to that. Now, clearly, somebody out there listening, I can hear some of my listeners right now thinking, well, wait a minute. Immigration does have a lot to do with gun rights. If they're successful in bringing in those voters that tend to vote Democrat, we tend to lose elections, and it's that party that's coming after our gun rights. There's a lot of truth to that. What we're saying here is don't let the National Rifle Association focus on that. This show will focus on that. Tom Gresham will talk about those things. Other people will, your partners will bring this to the forefront. Let the National Rifle Association focus on the Second Amendment. Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. And it's really important to understand that I'm not saying that other issues aren't important. And I understand right. that there are some people who are very, very motivated to protect our gun rights and very, very motivated to reform immigration and very, very motivated to protect the unborn children that are affected by abortions, obviously. But what I don't know that those things need to be connected. And I think it does us much more harm than good to have them connected, because guess what? There are people who feel very, very, very strongly about gun rights who also feel very, very strongly about the right of a woman to choose the fate of a fetus. So that we have to respect all of the Americans that are involved in this situation and find the ones that agree with us on gun rights, even if they like a Glock and you like a revolver, or they want, you know, they think training should be 8 hours and you think training should be 6 hours and I don't think there should be mandatory training. Let's work those details out inside of our community and not just draw a line that says all or nothing with the whole of conservative political ideology.
I'm going to have to stop it right there. Unfortunately, we're getting ready to come to the end of the program. It speaks for itself. Great program. I think Mr. Pincus just saved me an hour on a Sunday, because this will be an encore. Very important conversation. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense will get up and do it all again tomorrow. This is why. This is why we're here. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll see you on the radio. The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
What are you cooking tonight? Yo, what's up? This is AAR Shanto, and as you know, like Mark, I have a passion for our gun rights. I also have a passion for great cooking, and I want to invite you to my new Facebook page. There you will get to see and hear what's new in the culinary world. Just go to facebook.com/trythisdishradio or search for Try This Dish Radio on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/trythisdishradio, and remember, it's all about the food.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become their first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. That's why hundreds of thousands of responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll get 4 free chances to win a new gun. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number 1of4guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim the chance to win the free gun of your dreams.